everybody, and welcome to episode 70-something of the podcast you're listening to.
Wow. Okay, so if Hing sounds a little bit out of sorts, Hing just ate a chip so crunchy that it sent him into a state of shock.
Can't deal with it. So we should start this up. My name is Michael Hing.
My name is Ben Jenkins.
And we are joined by, which introduces our guest,
Alexi Toliopoulos.
Hello.
From the comedy podcast Mic Check and other things. And we're going to start things off with a snack report, which I endorse this week. Usually I hate them, but
we simply must begin with this.
we were sent a bevy of snacks.
Like a real... I'm shocked. I can't talk right now. Still.
You can't engage in abstract thought. You just tried to do a simile and you couldn't even do it. So crunchy was this chip.
It was crazy. All right, so we were sent a care package worth of snacks, a human ton of snacks, by David and Emily from Gritty in LA.
Yeah. Thank you, Gritty.
Thank you to them. And what they've done is sent us American snacks we can't get in Australia.
And I thought, you know what, when they said, Hing and Alexi, when they said, oh, we'll send you some American snacks, I was skeptical because I was like, oh, there are like, you know, there's a dodgy convenience store in every suburb that for some reason
they got Count Chocula in there.
You know
they
what
got
I mean?
All that kind of crap, Cinnamon Toast
these
Crunch.
These are some deep cuts.
These are some real, like, I have spent some time in the States. I've never seen these.
Yeah, these are real contraband snacks. So this is a Hika chip. Sea salt flavored.
This was the offending chip, right?
It's a crispy baked root vegetable. I just want you to listen to me eating a chip, right?
Oh my God.
And the mic has not moved closer to his mouth. Let the records show that.
Yeah, the mic is actually 2 feet away from his mouth.
I mean, they're delicious, but this is very upsetting as an experience.
And we also have some... I mean, they gave us so much. We're going to be literally dining out on this for weeks, but they gave us... The snacks that we're trying this week are... sour punch bites. Alexi, you've tried one of them.
Yeah, delicious peach flavoured.
Now, you opened this packet, Ben, and it immediately gave you a headache because there was so much sugar.
Just the sugar in the air was enough. And finally, Smashmallow Cinnamon Churro. Alexi,
these are vegan,
I believe?
These are vegan.
I absolutely would relish the opportunity to eat this churro-flavoured marshmallows. They look like tofu.
I believe they are tofu.
Wow, okay.
Your face just dropped. Oh, they're tofu. Fine. What's the verdict?
I guess they're tasty. Like they have a nice cinnamon sugar dusting on the outside, perfectly covered, but it does taste like tofu.
You can't get past that.
Yes, and I do like a taste of tofu, but not in my sweets. Chuck it in a stir fry for me. I love it.
Well, that is the three snacks that we reviewed for this snack report.
Can I please taste one of the ancient root vegetables, please?
Of course.
Even though I was prepared for it, it is very shockingly hard.
We could not have prepared you more for that, Alexi.
You look like a cat who was startled. You're like, oh.
Because when the sound is in your own head, it is far more intense.
Okay, I happen to be wearing noise-canceling headphones at the moment, so I wonder if this is going to be worse or better. Oh!
Anyway,
it sends a message to your brain immediately that you have bitten off your own tooth.
Yeah, I thought I was like, oh no, you've actually cracked all your teeth up. That's what happened. Yeah.
And then once it is softened by your own saliva, it does have the texture of paper. So it's hard, then immediately very mushy and soft.
So I would say that out of three, I would say the sour punch is an absolute winner.
An absolute winner.
It's easily, anyone could snack on this and have a lovely day.
I would say that the marshmallows are a winner because I think anything that makes tofu more palatable and any snack that caters for Hing's religion is a winner in my eyes. So that's two. And I think the root vegetables is a no from me.
Yes. It's the bottom of the heap no matter what else was in it.
It's a danger to me.
Yep.
It's a danger to anyone around me.
Yep. And I'd also like to say...
It is paleo-friendly though. So
I'd also like to say that there has been a silent part of Snack Report, which is the water that we're all enjoying.
Mm. Oh my God, fabulous water.
Well, it's filtered.
Really?
Yeah, through a Brita filter.
Wow.
But the gauge on the top of our filter where it tells you to change it,
oh, no.
That broke some time ago. So
oh, no.
I wonder if, like, surely if a filter no, like becomes too filled. Yeah. That becomes like a poisoner
what you're
at
doing
a certain
is,
point.
Yeah, right? You're making a sort of a gross soup of dirt or yeah. a dirt soup.
A tea. It's, yeah. a, it's like a dirty tea yeah. bag. Like
a bacterial tea.
Do you guys remember that Giardia scare when everybody was boiling their water? Did you grow up in Sydney?
Yes.
Yeah,
remember?
It was like in 1997, 1998. There was a water scare in Sydney.
In the Warragamba Dam, they found a bunch of dead goats. I think.
Yes.
I might be misremembering this. But anyway, they were like, for like 3 weeks, everybody had to boil their water and I think it was the state government being very cautious. But as a kid, I remember possibly having, like my parents were being maybe a bit over the top about this, but they were like, you don't drink water out of the tap or you will shit yourself
to
death.
I remember it. Mm. At my school, they had a big warning. It's like, you have to only drink water from these kettles that we have around the school. No bubblers, no bubblers.
Yeah.
I wasn't allowed to drink from bubblers anyway. Because my mum said that people put their lips on bubblers. And as a result...
Well, your mum's a doctor, isn't she?
She's also deeply OCD. Like, she is so germophobic.
Right. Well, because she knows all the germs.
Yeah, yeah.
By name.
But I remember in the early 90s when there was sort of lots of scares around things. I was not allowed to drink from bubblers. And one time I was real thirsty and drank from bubbler, and Mum saw me, and I got.
Oh, my God. She, like, just peering over the school fence?
I think I was just picking up from something.
That's on you, mate. If you knew she was on her way.
Yeah, no, it was foolish. But
you should have chosen your time more wisely.
Yeah.
Look, I fucked up. But the punishment, you know how parents are like, oh, you're smoking a pack of cigarettes. You smoked a cigarette, I'll make you finish the whole pack or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I came home and Mum made me drink like a liter of milk
as
a punishment. Oh, no. And I was like so ill. Yeah, it was real fucked up.
The more I learn about your childhood, the less explicable a person you become. Like, and I know like that sounds counterintuitive, like that you should make more sense, but you don't.
What do you mean?
You are a mystery. That is true.
Yeah.
Have I told you about how I was locked in a pen with chickens?
Yes.
Yes, okay.
I've not heard this.
We'll get back to this for the rest of the podcast. This is the podcast where we go through the week's classifieds and find the best and worst things to talk about. And Alexi, our guest, has brought a classified.
Yes, this is a classic
this
classified.
This is unprecedented in recent
memory. Am I breaking history?
I don't believe this has ever
Maybe.
I don't want to insult a guest.
Yeah. Mm. Well, you know who certainly didn't? Fucking Tom Ballard
Did you hear about
Yes,
Tom?
I have heard about the Tom Ballard fiasco. That's why I was so enthusiastic about the snacks. I don't want to be controversial. I'm not the kind of person to do that kind of thing. I'm a very sweet, lovely boy. I want everyone to like me, and that's who I am.
Yeah, well,
now you know everything about me.
You have brought in a classified.
Yes, this is one that was, it made it into all of the DVD boards that I frequent. Yes, I'm a DVD collector. Mm-hmm. So this is what was posted mainly in like the Criterion forums. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's a Criterion subreddit. Okay, I'm a Redditor, guys.
Sure.
I'll admit it.
Sure.
My greatest shame has been admitted by my own undoing. So this is about the movie Boyhood. Mm-hmm. And this is from Craigslist. And
is Boyhood the one that took like, it's the Linklater film that took like 20 years to make.
Because they aged the cast in real time.
Yeah, they made the film slowly. Slowly. And this is from Craigslist. It's entitled, You Farted During Boyhood. And it's MW4M. What does that mean?
It's a man and a woman looking for a man.
Okay, so this is a misconnection type deal.
Okay.
There we were, just enjoying a nice quiet Saturday night at the movies. A slow mover, Linklater's Boyhood. Some popcorn, a few sodas, nothing really happens in the film, we found. For about 90 minutes or so, we stare listlessly at the screen. It's a thinking man's film, I say. Beautifully shot. It's about life and death. And I mucked up.
No, go again.
Okay, beautifully shot. It's about life and death and relationships and things of that nature. Just then, at a brief, carefully timed cinematic pause in dialogue, an enormous fart from somewhere in the back pierces an otherwise silent movie theater. It had the impact of a baseball bat hitting a leather couch or George Foreman working the heavy bag. Whack. Loud, deep, and masculine. The seat cushion heroically absorbed most of the blow, but not enough that each and every person in the movie theater instantly burst into nervous laughter. The laughter continued for what felt like a good 5 minutes until tears streamed down our faces, even well after the blast. We quietly chuckled to ourselves with the remember the time that guy farted in the movie theater gleam in our eyes, and just like that, with a soft chuckle, chuckle and a deep breath, we were back into the film. Things happened. People drove around Texas. Relationships came and went. There was crying. There was hope. It was as if we had all forgotten about the fart that had brought us together that night. As the sun began to set on screen and teenage boy, no longer a boy, transitions into an adult before our very eyes and looks intently, lustfully into a young girl's eyes as if to lean in for a kiss. Another fart from the back row. Like two giant hands clapping together and the screen goes dark. Credits roll. We decided after laughing our way out of theater and all the way home that this was the best movie that we had ever seen. I imagine the lone farter sauntering off into the sunset, his work here done. If only I could say thank you, kind sir. You are truly a master of your craft.
Oh, wow. My God.
So that's for the cinephiles out there. Good film review.
So how did you see Boyhood when you saw the movie Boyhood?
Well, I was in the back row, ate some beans before it started.
Do you think it's a movie that would be... You are a big movie buff, Alexi.
Yes,
do you think
I'm a cinephile. Registered, baby. Yes, when I did become a cinephile, I did have to go to door-to-door. Just going, I love movies.
Did you like the movie Boyhood?
I loved Boyhood. It was truly a feast for all my senses.
Do you think that...
Including smell.
Do you think that you would have been annoyed by this? Or do you think you would have had the attitude of the poster?
Absolutely, honestly, I am totally in line with the poster. A good fart is one of the funniest things you can ever hear and one of the worst things you can ever smell. And I think that to bring
Mark
a film...
Twain.
Do you think that's the way Linklater at all intended the
film? He's a perfectionist. He's a bloody... I reckon he probably...
Leaves those gaps
and pays someone in every single session. That's the dedication to his craft.
I don't think you need to pay. He's an acolyte. He's got acolytes all around,
but
man.
Yeah, absolutely. But he's like, at this time, at the 47-minute mark, you will...
Is Boyhood the funniest movie to rip farts in? It could be.
It might be, because it's not insensitive to do it in Boyhood.
No.
Because it's just about life.
Yeah, like Sophie's Choice, it's probably like...
During the key moment, she's like, which one do I choose? If someone did it there, that's not funny. That's like, my gosh, what is wrong with you?
Yeah.
What is wrong with you?
You animal.
This is a
goodness.
Kevin Klein movie. What are you doing?
Do you think, bottom line, this guy was happy with his work? Or do you think he was... Because if he was happy with it... And everybody laughed. He's like, I'm saving it up. And as the credits roll, I'm going to do it. And I'm going to be a fucking hero.
Oh,
but
yes.
If he's not, if he's mortified, if he's there watching it with like...
Just building dread in his belly.
Yeah, exactly. If he's there watching it with like...
A date?
Or Chaz Ebert? Or like some renowned person from the cinema? I don't know why I went to Chaz Ebert.
Who's Chaz Ebert?
Chaz Ebert's Roger Ebert's wife.
Oh, yes. Oh,
he's there with David and Margaret.
Yeah. Either or both. Dredd's just building, and he's like, I think I can get to the end of this film.
Yeah.
I think I can get to the end of this film.
And just bottoms out.
Just at the last moment. What's worse? Oh, my God. Do you guys want one?
Yes,
do you guys want a... This was sent in by Sam Silcock, who sent in one from a pod before that was really funny, too. So thank you, Sam. Keep them coming.
We love you, Sammy, baby.
This is from one of my favorite sub-genres of classifieds. It's from a buy, swap, sell.
Okay.
Are you across any of these?
I'm aware from you guys what they are, but
sure.
I've never even been on Gumtree or anything.
So
in
this is from Facebook, and it's like Townsville's Best Buy, Sell, and Swap. Okay?
Okay. Is this a Facebook group?
This is a Facebook group, yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
fabulous.
Yeah. Yeah. So, this person is selling for $2. Sorry. I don't know what happened.
You're not cutting that. You were not cutting that.
Okay. This is for $2, craft singles. And there is a picture of six craft singles on some sort of bench top.
Oh my God, are they in the packaging or are they loose on the bench?
No, I can see that they are in their packaging.
Oh, thank
goodness. They are separated but still in their plastic wrap.
So sorry, there are two layers of packaging in craft singles, much like an enigma wrapped in a puzzle. There's the packet that they all come in and then they are individually wrapped.
Yes, they are the most wasteful way to eat cheese.
They are singles after all.
After all. Okay, ready for some pretty great copy?
Yes.
Never opened. These classic cheese-like snacks are a treat for the whole family.
Can you describe them as cheese-like? Yeah. Not even cheese. Cheese
life. This is from Tracy, and Tracy is a realist.
But I think that's why they're called singles instead of Kraft cheese bits or something.
They are just called Kraft singles. Like, the word cheese, it's like when you realize that the word mafia is never mentioned in the Godfather. Okay. Individually wrapped. We have six available, but can separate. So I assume...
Are they $2 each?
$2 each.
Oh.
This guy's a profiteering freak.
Actually, they could be, you know. 12, I mean, like...
I mean, not a bad deal if you're in a bind.
You're in a Kraft singles bind.
What situation are you like, I need, not just cheese, I need a Kraft single.
I need a lactose square. Anyone got one?
So this is, have six available, but can sell separate. Comes from a pet and smoke-free home. PM me for more information.
What other information do you need when making this purchase?
Yeah, use by date, because they do say, you know, never open individually wrapped.
A Kraft single is one of those foods that'll last for like years, even though you think they won't.
I would hope not.
Oh, you would hope not, but think so, right?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Like, I reckon if you buy a thing of Kraft singles, you'd think, like, how long does cheese last? A couple of weeks.
Yeah,
depending on the cheese, mate.
Right. Oh, really?
Yeah. After a time, it just becomes yogurt. I think. It's like in the Pokemon evolution of milk. It goes milk, probably goes milk, yogurt, cheese.
It goes
actually,
milk, butter, yogurt, cheese.
Yeah. And mold. Yeah. Mold is the final form of all milk.
Yeah. All things, really.
Yeah. Isn't that whole thing when everyone's complaining about mold? Like everyone's like, "Oh, it's gross. It's mold or whatever." And then someone in the conversation will be like, "Well, it's just like blue cheese."
Yeah. You know, usually a father.
Yeah,
usually a dad.
I find that so, like, annoying. Because obviously the mold we're talking about isn't the edible mold. The mold we're talking about is the mold...
It's the furry
like growing
kind.
It in
it's
a
the mold that
teacup.
Killed Brittany Murphy.
yeah.
Make that joke to Brittany Murphy. You can't. It killed her. Jesus.
Go to her gravesite.
In Père Lachaise, I believe, next to Jimi Hendrix. And see if you're making a bloody mold joke then, Dad.
Fucking dad.
I have a... I was going to say a bit of a guilty confession. I'm not guilty about this. Mm. I know who I am. This is probably my favorite type of cheese.
Really?
Yep.
Lactose squares?
I have a...
Have you tried Cheese Whiz? I think you'd also like the canned cheese as well, man.
Very See, nice like, little metallic hints in there
I'm,
as well.
I'm a bit of a fancy boy.
Okay.
I like a bit of nice things.
But why are you a fancy boy?
Well, you know, I'm in that sketch group. I like to go to nice restaurants and I like nice wine.
Right, okay.
But there's like warring, I suppose there's like warring.
I would think.
I'd say I contain multitudes in that I also like incredibly shitty things.
That would be my go-to. I guess I've known you for so long, though, that I didn't know you when you were a fancy boy.
It's probably a lot of the influence of my wife who likes nice things.
Yes, right.
But if I had to pick the cheese for a function... You know, if we were having people over and it were up to me.
I was at your wedding and I thought it was like quite frankly, I thought it was weird that the cheese board was just a series of Kraft singles.
Never opened.
Kraft singles and a bowl of runts. That was my starting position and I was bargained down by Anya to none of that. I'm a big, and I think people...
An American cheese boy.
Yeah. And I think when people...
That sounds like a film. That sounds like a film title.
American cheese boy by Richard Linklater and a farty boy.
Michael King, do you have one that you'd like to share with us?
I do indeed. Now, this has been taken from Oregon Craigslist. I don't know if you're familiar with Oregon.
Yes, it's the Pacific Northwest of America.
Yeah. It is, but often...
Lots of horror set there.
And often the stuff that we get from Oregon is a bit weird. It is strange. It is next level strange.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this is entitled Wanted. Woman who wants to conceive child during totality eclipse in Oregon.
Oh my goodness.
Concord, Pleasant Hill, Martinez in the area.
I don't know what authorities need to be alerted, but
yeah.
The men in black.
Some sort of higher power, that's all.
I am 40 years of age. Caucasian male from Europe. My heritage is strong and pure.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of this going on in Oregon.
Yeah. But also, like, you haven't said what heritage it is.
Yeah. Well, I said from Europe. So, but
okay.
Not
and he said Caucasian. Yeah. So, probably Danish.
Yeah. Probably white. Yeah. Let's call him elite white, shall we? my looks, instincts, knowledge, and strength is 100% pure and 100% lethal.
Good God.
So lethal.
That's a threat.
Wow. You have lethal instincts? I don't... What?
My looks, instinct, and knowledge and strength. 100% lethal.
Right. Well, he does sound hot, at least.
Can't deny it. I am looking for a worthy female with strong genes, beauty, and smarts.
How are we spelling genes?
It's the Nazi way. It's not not the blue denim.
Like wine. Gene Hackman. Same spelling.
Have I mentioned this? This is a tangent. Do you know this? I think this would be the sort of fact that would delight you.
Mm?
When Mark David Chapman killed John Lennon.
Okay, right? So far not.
This is an upsetting thing for us to know.
He had a list. Right?
Yeah.
Because basically, you know the story with him, he just wanted to kill somebody famous.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And he was like, if I can't get to John Lennon, who else? Number two on that list was Gene Hackman.
Oh my gosh.
And I'd like to point out that all the other Beatles were still alive at this point.
Yeah. Well,
Ringo, you're like, what the fuck, man?
I mean, I am delighted now. Thank God he got Lennon, because we never would have got Welcome to Mooseport all these years later. And where would Ray Romano be if it weren't for that?
Sorry, continue. I'm doing a callback to that later on, so you can't cut it out.
I'm looking for someone with strong genes, beauty, and smarts to join me to experience the totality eclipse in Oregon. Wow. Exact place is not set. If we have chemistry, I would like for us to make love while the eclipse is happening.
The old-fashioned way.
What's a totality eclipse? Do either of you know?
I guess it's when the moon totally blocks out the sun.
Yeah.
Like a total eclipse of the
sun. What's the...
That really got you, Alex. That really got you. When totality occurs, we will have simultaneous orgasms.
Wow.
And we will conceive a child that will be on the next level of human evolution.
Okay. That is a huge promise.
Yes. Huge promise.
Like, not only am I going to make you come, me come too, and also we're going to have a really good kid.
Yeah.
I'm gonna make sure it gets all the way in.
That's, wow.
We will make love together with me and my penis.
That is an astonishing pickup line.
With me and my penis.
No, that's not even the end of the sentence. With me and my penis directed towards the sun. Everything will be aligned in the local universe. Both of our cosmic orgasmic energy will be aligned with the planets.
In
a brief moment of ecstasy, we will understand.
Brief, right?
We will understand everything and together create a new universe full of love. So their child is going to be a new universe. Like Franklin Richards from the Child of the Fantastic Four. Anyway.
This is like some omen shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And then this is... So
I'm not into this.
I kind of love it.
So okay.
Think about the tone.
Good diversity of opinion here.
Think about the tone that has been set.
Magical.
For that
mystical.
The whole thing.
Beautiful
right?
tone.
Horny.
You know, they're talking about totality, talking about cosmic energy, talking about simultaneous orgasms. And then the final line. You must like cats. Drugs are okay. Nitrous oxide while we climax and experience totality and conception is okay with me.
Wow.
So he wants to huff nangs and do nos while you guys are creating a universe.
Wow. So it's all... In the end, it's just a drug-fueled fuckfest where the guy lies on his back while she rides him. Man, he's spiced it up a whole lot. I'm going in on this one.
Here's the question, right? Okay, so what we, regardless of what the answer to this question is, I think we know that this person is a dreadful, dreadful person.
Absolutely,
yeah,
but
of course.
Does this person believe any of this, or is this a trick?
Ploy.
Like, is the tone at the end of it kind of give away, like, he just wants to huff nangs and have sex on his back?
Yeah.
And is this just kind of like trying to sweeten the deal? A woman being like, well, this guy seems like a bit of a creep, but it does sound like we're going to create a fucking universe, and that would be kind of cool.
Do you know any single person
who would
look at this ad and be like, oh yeah, I want to create a universe.
No, not that, no.
I think if this is a cynical marketing ploy by him, it's a very bad one.
Mm.
You didn't go to Oregon with the Dragon Friends, did you?
No, I didn't. Did you?
No, I didn't. I was just wondering if this is a sort of thing that might fly
if
there.
Not you two, who wins?
I think that I feel like this guy first of all needs an editor, because there's a lot going on. Why would you start by saying that you're pure and lethal?
Like, yeah, don't tell
me. I think that's what would send anyone off, because there's like, I can imagine someone going like, yeah, that actually does sound awesome, all this magic bullshit and like creating the next greatest creature to walk this earth. But then the race stuff would turn you off from that for sure, if you're a hippy dippy person.
And if not the race stuff, then like the expression of lethality
yes,
would be like...
Well, because there's one thing, you don't want in a lover is the possibility that they will murder you. I don't want to kink shame anyone, but I think that wanting a lover who has the feasibility to be able to murder you is...
And it's not just that he says he's lethal, it's that he's got lethal instincts, which suggests it's almost involuntary. Like, if you get startled by something...
If you eat a loud chip, I'm going to slice your neck open.
It's also weird that he says he's 100% pure and 100% lethal. That doesn't leave a lot of room for anything else. How would you direct your penis towards the sun?
Just point up. You lay on your back.
No, no, sorry. Me and my penis will be directed towards the sun. But how do you make
You are perpendicular to your penis.
I would say there's right angles happening.
So he's sitting up. He's sitting up. He has to be, and his penis also up.
I think, yeah, I mean,
he's gaffed it. Yeah. He's gaffed it backwards.
Do you think, both of you, what do you think the likelihood of this happening is? Because... if we take the guy at his word, and why shouldn't we, this could be a problem in 9 months' time when they give birth to...
Yeah. To the universe.
Yeah, to a new universe. Because obviously there's nothing necessarily wrong with an extremely magic child, but it does seem like it is going to be reared by a hateful person and at best somebody with very poor judgment.
Or someone very horny. You know, maybe they're just
enormously
a horny
lady. Like,
is there a movie about a magic child that is not like a horror?
Midnight Special.
Or
next.
Harry Potter.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I for a second then, I thought all magical children were evil. But
yeah, but
I
it's like the,
Harry Potter.
This reads more like The Omen to me than it does Harry Potter.
Which is weird, because was Damien intentionally created?
Is this how?
Yes, he was created by Satanists themselves, and then he was swapped out at birth.
Do we know that this isn't
And he becomes a president.
Do we know that this isn't how Harry Potter was made?
It's never explicitly refuted.
Yeah, I don't remember if they show that in the movies
book. As Jack Drews is fond of saying, J.K. Rowling's just making shit up all the time and like retconning this. So she could be like, imagine she came out, she was like, oh, he was the devil.
Yeah.
Harry Potter was the devil.
The boy you liked was the devil.
Alexi, do you have one for us?
Yes, I do. This one is sent in by James Quinn.
James Quinn, another serial contributor.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, James. You're a wonderful human being, and I hope you rear a magic child into this world one day. Oh my goodness.
Still, no, I forgot. I forgot. Oh my goodness.
So this is one entitled One Man Band, Show Available for Hire.
Oh, yes.
Here we go.
Hi. I have created a jazz/blues/funk/electronic one man band show.
I am here for this.
And I'd be excited to provide live music for your event. Party, restaurant, club, wedding, corporate event, etc.
Wedding. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. In my show, I use my keyboard/synthesizer and looping pedal to create jazzy/bluesy/funky groups over which I play melodies and solos.
You're just describing music,
mate. Yeah, music. I can also bring my trumpet and bongos to add an even more textures to the performance. I have experience performing at jazz festivals, weddings, corporate events, restaurants, club, on Carnival cruise lines, and more.
There are a lot of those things that you don't need to be explicitly booked for. like restaurants, for example. Yeah.
Just hop up out of your seat. Attention, please. Attention.
Do I or do I not have a table booked? Do I or do I not have a table booked? And can I do whatever I want at this time? Answer the question.
I just want to play some jazzy, bluesy, funky grooves. Hope you enjoy. Oh, wait, hang on. I have links to some samples of my music below. Hope you enjoy, and feel free to email me with any questions. Thanks. https://www.youtube.com/watch.
Oh, that's the link.
Okay.
That's the other thing about a wedding, is that you don't want a one-man band.
You want someone who can play the fucking hits.
Exactly.
The reason you don't want a one-man band is because the whole thing a one-man band is that the music's not great, but it's fun to watch.
Now, see, this is the thing. I think this is where he's gone wrong. Because I think that what he has described here is actually a reasonably conventional musician, mm-hmm. right? Like, loop pedals are a thing.
Yeah.
Darren Percival is someone who springs to mind who makes, like, good music and does it all himself, loops it all up, plays a couple of instruments, blah, blah, blah.
Is he the guy that was on The Voice a few
he
years
He was
ago?
The guy who was on The Voice.
Yeah, I voted for the guy.
Yeah.
Did you really? Did you text in?
I text, or online maybe. I can't remember how it was back in that day.
But I'm just saying, like, this is, like, not... This is no longer really a novelty genre. Mm. But that's because it's not necessarily referred to as a one-man band. Because the moment you refer to yourself as a one-man band, you are Dick Van Dyke in Mary Poppins.
I was going to say that, like, you just don't want someone with a drum on their back at
that's
your wedding.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's what you imagine when someone says one-man band. This is a guy with an iPod and a bongo drum, maybe if you wanted to spice it up a little bit.
But yeah, and he also, like, the bigger thing for me is, like, I do not want somebody at a restaurant. I do not want somebody at a wedding. I don't want somebody even
corporate
at an
event, carnival cruise
who
lineup.
Who is not playing covers.
Yeah.
Like, unless you do have a, like, at a carnival cruise or a corporate event, you could do a whole thing about, like, multitasking, having the Dick Van Dyke set up.
Yes.
So it's the worst of all possible worlds.
Totally.
Like, you don't even have the novelty.
You're already, like, workshopping how to sell this guy to corporate events.
Yes! You could be like, sometimes, honk, it feels like smash. You have to do everything, bwop. Like...
If he can load up Material Girl and not play the freaking trumpet over it, that's all I want.
This is at a wedding. You need to be better than my iPod on shuffle.
Yeah.
If you want to play at my wedding, Alexi, you're Greek.
I am indeed. He better play Zorba. If he can work us into a line and we can dance around in a circle, kicking our feet up, that's all we need.
I think I went to a Greek wedding a couple of years ago with the smash plates. That's a Greek wedding thing, right?
Yeah, but it's not really done.
Right. Yeah, because I went to a Greek wedding and there was no smashing of plates, and I didn't want to ask, like...
Oh, no, you can't ask that. I feel upset being asked it now.
I'm so sorry. If you... Maybe I get some music, you go and be like, Michael, you're Chinese now. Yeah. And I'm like, I have no idea, man. I don't know.
Honestly, I don't have the courage to come back with that. But, no, it's not really done. The only time I've ever done it, and they're like plaster plates.
Yeah, because you get them from a special shop. You don't just go to Kmart.
Why? Oh, because they need to be smashable.
Exactly. It can't be the ceramic because you don't want to get like a ceramic splinter.
Oh.
Yeah, because I don't know if you ever smashed a plate before.
No, never.
you create a series of small knives.
Right.
Mm. Well, what I was going to ask is, do you know the Greek community? And you don't have to speak for all of them, but just
I'll go on the record for the entire Greek community.
How does the Greek community feel about one-man bands at weddings?
I think they would absolutely hate it. I think they would absolutely hate it.
But is that because, and I don't want to sort of go on a limb here.
Yes.
Given that Greek people are just a subset of people, and all people would hate this.
Yes. We are not unlike you guys.
Yeah,
we're not too unlike you.
We hate what you hate.
But the Greeks, they are in fact the fiery, passionate people. So you guys may just like be annoyed by it. They would truly detest it. And then there may be an uproar. I can imagine there being an uproar.
So, you know, when I was growing up, because my family friends mostly are Chinese, in the sort of Sydney Chinese community, I went to a lot of like Hong Kong weddings growing up as a kid.
Flew to Hong Kong.
A couple in Hong Kong and a lot of Hong Kong people in Sydney.
Yep.
So I thought that was just kind of how weddings were. But
you had to go to Hong Kong.
Yeah. You have to, it's part of every third wedding must be in a British territory in Chinese. There's some stuff that people do in Hong Kong weddings or like Chinese culture weddings that is very, very odd. Like, you know how there's the throwing of the bouquet in the garter?
Yes.
In white people weddings, do they do the...
I never saw that until I was like 20 either, until I went to a white person wedding.
Yeah. And
I mean, a Greek white, this is the record.
That's a conversation for another time. Yeah.
But, so before you do the throwing in the garter, there's like all these games you do at the Hong Kong wedding to find out...
Yes.
So basically it involves blindfolding the bride or the groom.
Yeah.
And then they've got to sort of see if they can pick their bride or groom.
I went to a wedding where someone was marrying someone who was Chinese and that happened.
So what is this?
So as an example, right? If I was getting married and
you
I was
keep
in a Hong
saying
wedding,
that a lot on this podcast. You keep saying your wedding.
You'd blindfold me and then you'd get like my fiance, or I guess wife at that point, and a bunch of her friends to line up in front of me and take their shoes off. And I've got to like hold their
feet.
Wait,
you got to check their feet for like...
And then
you've got to be like, oh, that's my wife's feet.
Yeah, that's my wife's feet.
And it's not. It's a cat or whatever. Yeah. Like,
oh, you've picked out a sis, you fucking idiot. And like this, like half a dozen things like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw one with legs at the wedding that I was at.
I love this.
And it was
it's so fun.
It's so
like
fucking
a game
Chinese.
Show.
Yeah, no, it's so fucking Chinese to make everything a fucking quiz. But it's also like a weird way to start a wedding because you start a marriage, I should say, because you do that and the first thing you do when you're
get
married,
off literally on the wrong foot.
Yeah, is test. Well, can you like?
It's to touch your mother-in-law's feet.
Yeah, that's what I saw. At my wedding, it was the
honestly,
bride. I think
this
her sister
is fucking hot.
And the mother-in-law, and I think he picked the mother-in-law, and there was much merriment.
That is funny though.
Can I tell?
And you get absolutely roasted when you fuck up as well. Like everyone goes, ah, you touched the wrong foot, you idiot. Ah.
I love
this. It's pretty good.
So, just before we go, I just want to say that we've started up this Patreon, which is really, really exciting. We are in the future right now, enjoying it, I assume.
Yes.
Because we actually haven't started that while we're talking now.
But it's going to be. I think it's like $5 a month or something like that, depending what fees Patreon.
Yeah, so
puts
like
on
$5
that.
A month, and you'll get some little bonus eppies. Yep. And we would really love it if you would support the show because we love doing it. And if you support it, it actually makes it a sustainable thing for us to keep doing and not take enormous gaps.
Yeah. If you'd like to send in some snacks like David and Emily did, please get in touch with our Facebook and I'll tell you the address where you can send them to.
Yeah, because honestly, we are snack connoisseurs and we've been pretty harsh, but two out of three
ain't bad. It's just the very upsetting crispy baked root veggie chips that are crushed my teeth.
So, as I'm sure I've already said, head to patreon.com/FTAGH.
Have you already got that?
Yep.
Nice.
Chuck us $5 a month. That would be lovely. If you're not flush, don't worry about it.
Mm. If you'd like to support Alexi, what are you up to nowadays?
I've got two podcasts, both with Cameron James. One is called Mike Check. We go through the entire filmography of Mr. Mike Myers just to check if they're still shagadelic or not.
I recently did one and it was a lot of fun, but I kind of went into it kind of furious.
Yeah, we did watch Johnny English.
They made me watch, on a beautiful August day, made me sit there in Cam's really nice apartment and watch an hour and a fucking half of Johnny English.
Oh, so you provided the film for him to watch. When I did your podcast, I had to download my own version of it.
Well, we had strict deadlines when you did it. All right. We had to do two episodes on Goldmember.
And you also, it's true, we did do a double episode of Goldmember. And you also run a comedy night that's, I think, I will say, one of my favourite comedy rooms to do, and it's one of the best in Sydney.
Yeah, it's Greenlights Comedy Nights at the Gaelic Club. It's only $10, and we've got Susie Youssef headlining.
Oh, Susie's a friend of the show. Susie's a delight.
Yeah, it's a real fun show.
I think your Golden Age show will have passed by the time this comes out.
Well, then I shall not discuss it. I do another podcast with Cameron as well called the Blank Slate Movie Podcast, where we just watch movies and discuss movies and are true cinephiles.
Beautiful.
Registered cinephile.
Yes, King, under the bridge.
Your Fringe show should be on, and also your Stan show is currently available.
Oh, yeah. If you're on Stan, watch the other guy. I think it's real good. It's not quite a comedy. I mean, it's funny, but it's not like a comedy, so I don't expect it to be like... Nyak, nyak.
I'll expect what I want.
Okay, you do what you want. My friend's show is about to come on, about to do that, depending on when this comes out.
Great.
Come see that at the Factory Theatre.
Yeah.
Ben?
Nah. We would love you guys to check out our other podcast, which is Dragon Friends. Mm-hmm. It's a D&D live comedy Dungeon Dragon show with a lot of great people, and that's super fun. It comes out every 2 weeks, and you can go to thedragonfriends.com.au. Just a com.
That is all of us for this week, and we'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.